Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace and Bible study in the book of Judges. So let me open us up in prayer, and we will get started here. So, Father, we thank you for our time today, God. We thank you for your word and these stories that we're covering in the book of Judges, Lord. We thank you for the lessons in them, that even though these things happened thousands of years ago, God, I thank you that they are just as relevant today as they were back then, God. I just thank you for passing these things on to us to learn from. And I just pray that you just got our conversations and that we would all walk away with what you want us to take away from this. And so we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're in Judges chapter 18. And so last week we looked at a very disturbing story in the history of Israel that mainly focused on a man named Micah. This story is troubling because no one in this story is right. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's off. Everybody's doing things that are in violation of Hebrew laws. You know, Micah, you know, his mother and this so-called Levite, who is supposed to be from the priestly tribe, you know, not even he's right in this story. Nobody's right in this story. So to quickly sum it up, Micah steals money from his own mother. She speaks a curse over whoever took the money, speaking the way that he could hear it. He returns the money, not because he sees that it's wrong, but to avoid the curse. See, there's not even any regret there, you know. His mother, who had wholly dedicated this money to the Lord when it's returned, you know, she in the same sentence dedicates the return money to the Lord, but then gives it to her son to make idols. I mean, it's just, you know, and these idols are made, they're put into Micah's house, and then he sets up a shrine. He makes an ephod, which is a vest worn by the high priest that represents the 12 tribes of Israel, and he consecrates one of his sons to be a priest. And so he's setting things up aside from God, aside for God's use. But the appointing of priests comes from God. The priest was to come from the tribe of Levi, and it's the job of the high priest to consecrate that person. And Micah and his family have violated numerous Hebrew laws and God's laws in setting up godly things. It's crazy.
Well, what's wrong with that?
At least he's insincere.
Oh, yeah. He thinks he's... Yeah, that's the thing. He doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. Yeah. You know, and then we have a man from Bethlehem in Judah who is a Levite who leaves there to find a place to stay. The problem here is Bethlehem is not one of the cities given to the Levites. So why is he there, and why is he looking for a place to stay? There were cities given to the Levites, and they were to be provided for so that they could devote their time and serve God and his people. And so this man should be in one of those cities and not wandering around looking for a place. And of course, the answer is that the priesthood had deteriorated. And this is why we have not seen or heard more of it or from it. As we've gone through this book, and also this progressed through Joshua.
How many hundreds of years did it take for this deterioration?
Less than. Well, because this one here, when they talk about it, it's the Danites didn't have a place. Well, that was back when Joshua was just... You know, Joshua hasn't been dead that long.
So this is right after the period of Joshua and the elders, and it's in this shape.
So less than 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So much of the nation, in so many ways, has been influenced by these people of the land that they were supposed to have driven out. But they didn't, and as a result, those that they did not drive out not only influenced them, but they openly opened their arms to them and embraced them and let them influence them, and as a result of this, so fell the priesthood. So this Levite comes upon Micah, who invites him to be his priest. Micah consecrates him, you know, and who knows what happened to the son that he had set up in this, because he already had a son set up in this. So, you know, and as I said, priests were chosen by God. All priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests.
Now, the way Micah's doing this, is Mike even an Israelite? Or did he hear about it? I mean, it almost seems like he heard about it and went, you know what, that sounds good what they're doing.
I'm afraid he's an Israelite.
I mean, it would almost be better if he wasn't, yeah. He was an outsider.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they think they're serving Jehovah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the crazy thing. They think they're doing right, but they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the crazy
thing.
Because,
like, the Danites are sending their people up there, so it's like, wait a minute.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
They had to have their area, so how is Micah there already? You know, where is he from? What tribe is he from?
Apparently Ephraim or Manasseh.
Yeah. So again, you know, this story is so fraught with problems that it really staggers the mind when you read the story. Mm-hmm. And then we come to chapter 18, which is sadly more of the same. So 18 verse 1 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel." And this is a part of a saying that runs through the book of Judges. You know, the whole statement is this from 17:6. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes." And so again, as we've already kind of said, that these guys think what they're doing is right, but it's not. There's no one leading them. There's no godly compass to direct them. Everyone's doing what they think is right. You know, Micah was doing what he thought was right, but all that he did was terribly wrong. But he doesn't see it, nor does anyone in chapter 18 see what they're doing. 17 verse 3 says, "Then Micah said, 'Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing as I have a Levite as a priest.'" So he's thinking he's okay, and he's thinking God's going to bless him, but he's wrong. He's wrong. So again, Micah violates a number of Hebrew laws to set up something, or and he sets things up that they appear to be okay, but they're not okay. You know, God has never been consulted, nor would God support him if he did. You know, again, there's no good godly leaders to guide them or direct them. And without that, people will do what they think is good. And don't we kind of see this in the world today?
That's what I would like to dream. Think that what should happen here, if I were writing it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if it's history, it's difficult to write something in.
Yes.
But there should be a man of God to come here to make things right.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yes, but that's not the point of the story.
The redemptive value in here is difficult to find.
Yes. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why don't you read verse 1 of Judges 18.
"In those days there was no king of Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for themselves to live in, for until that day an inheritance had not been allocated to them as a possession among the tribes of Israel."
Okay. So as we said last week, you know, these stories that we're in now are a few hundred years before the time of Samson. This, you know, and so this is taking place closer to the beginning of the book of Judges. The tribe of Dan did receive an inheritance. Them saying that their inheritance has not been allotted to them is how they see it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not have the faith or the courage to claim their inheritance that God had promised them. They were being squeezed from the Philistines coming in from the west and the Amorites from the east. And so rather than stand with God and trust him and take their land, they left to go find another place, saying, "We've not been given any land."
Mm-hmm.
And this is their mind's eye. In their mind's eye, this justifies their actions, as we will see as we go on with this story.
It's almost like the modern day stereotypical rich kid. "Dad, where is all of my stuff? You've got to, you know, why haven't you given me my stuff yet? What do you mean I got to work in the mailroom first? You're the president of the company. Give me my stuff." They didn't, you know, they were expecting it to be handed to them and not actually work for it.
Why don't you read verse 2?
"So from their family groups, they chose 5 soldiers from the cities of Zorah and Eshtaol to spy out and explore the land. They were told, 'Go, explore the land.' They came to the mountains of Ephraim, to Micah's house, where they spent the night."
Okay. So the land given to Dan was more at the coast, you know, at the northern part of Judah, just southeast of Ephraim. And it's interesting that Zorah and Eshtaol, which is on the southern border of Dan's territory, would be where Samson would be. But again, this is much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
because it was in or near Judah, Dan probably had some control there, maybe, and maybe even allowed to be there, you know, by Judah. And we kind of saw the same thing with Benjamin. You know, Benjamin was kind of surrounded and protected too. So, but apparently Dan is not satisfied, and so these five Danite spies, they're sent out to find a land of their own. And so they go into the hill country of Ephraim, and they come upon the home of Micah. So these valiant men, as it is said here, are spying out land to take that is not theirs, and they would not take their own land, but they'll take the land of another tribe. You know, even the valiant men, the men of valor here, are not what they should be. Looking at verse 3, it says, "And when they were near the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned aside there and said to him, 'Who brought you here? And what are you doing in this place? And what do you have here?'" So there are accents among some of the Hebrews, and we saw this several weeks ago in Judges 12, right? The people of Ephraim couldn't pronounce Shibboleth. You know, instead they would say Sibboleth, because they can't do the H. And so the people of Levi also talk a certain way, and that distinguishes them as well. And so they recognize this man as a Levite. And then there's the question of him being up there in the hill country of Ephraim. So it says in verse 4, it says, he said to them, "Thus and so has Micah done to me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." And they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether our way on which we are going will be prosperous." And the priest said to him, he says, "Go in peace. Your way in which you're going has the Lord's approval." So the Levites relate to him how he. So the Levite relates to them how he got there, and they ask him to talk to God for them to find out if where they're going is going to pay off for them. And so this priest says, "God approves of where you're going." So here we have more problems. You know, the Danites, who have not been following God, they also don't see that this Levite setup isn't right. You know, they ask him to inquire of God for him. I mean, would you go to a thief and trust him with something? I mean, things had so broken down in the priesthood and the nation with pagan influences that what the Danites did is sadly not unusual. How is a Levite who is not sanctioned by God hearing God? You know, why are Danites, who have not taken their God-given land, asking for God's word on where they're going? You know, and again, it's not, is this right or wrong? It's, will this pay off for us?
The other thing, the way it's written is, Fred, how's your coffee?
It's not coffee.
Okay. Fred, ask God how your tea is.
Ask God how my... No.
But see, how it's written is the priest replied right away. It isn't like the priest went off to spend time with the Lord to find out, is there, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, there's this, he's just off the cuff answer.
And no. Here is the problem with the man of God or the prophetic person giving a word that is desired, giving what what they want to hear.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous thing to do.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're supposedly speaking for God.
Yes.
Yeah. Which and so this is more of, this is all wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the question: what are the wrong motives that drive the actions demonstrated in the conversation in verses 4 through 6? What are the wrong motives here? You kind of maybe alluded to one.
Mm-hmm. Well,
tell me what I want to hear.
Yeah, tell me what I want to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, and. You know, the Levite's like, "Hey, I got a job to be this guy's personal priest." You know, is that how they're supposed to be? You know, that's when it was set up, because the Levite's supposed to live off the donations of the people, but not be hired by one person.
Well, the question is motivation.
Yeah, what's the motive?
The priest wants to look good. He wants to look like a priest, mm-hmm. a man of God. So his motivation isn't their safety. It's he wants to feel important and be respected.
Mm-hmm. What about the Danites?
They want confirmation that what they're doing is right.
Hmm.
They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, they're going to do it anyway. Yeah.
Well, for the priest, assuming he did not go to God, then he's at least 50-50 chance. And if he's wrong, they might get slaughtered and never come back to confront him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. He's not out, nobody knows.
Yeah.
So he's got an 80-20 chance of not getting in trouble for just...
Yeah, of course the problem is here he's taking chances and giving words that are questionable and...
Well, rather I'd say than, for him the risk is about 20%.
Yeah, he better pray these guys either...
If they
successful.
Have a good trip, he looks good.
Yeah.
If they don't have a good trip, they'll be dead.
They're gone.
Yeah.
And they won't come back and confront him.
Unless some of them survive, then they'll come back and kill him.
Right,
you know.
There's the 20%.
Yeah, there you go. So why don't you read verse 7?
Then the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people who were in it living in security after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. For there was no ruler humiliating them for anything in the land, and they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone.
So these five go north, about 100 miles up their territory there, up into the land of Naphtali, by the Jordan River, and they come to Laish, which is, again, as you read, it's quiet, it's secure, it's isolated, it's attractive, it's fruitful, it's got no ruler, no dealings with anybody. They're isolated. You know, they're far from the Sidonians who are on the coast. And so Laish is more inland. And as I said, by the Jordan River. So they're on their own. Now, Laish was a Canaanite city. Now, the Sidonians, you know, in the book of Genesis, Sidon was the firstborn of Canaan, who was the son of Ham, making Sidon a great-grandson of Noah. Sidon was the oldest of the Phoenician cities and was a city strong enough to stand against Asher, who could not drive them out. Sidon was also the birthplace of Jezebel from the book of Kings. The Sidonians dominated the coastal plain. But as far away as they were, they would probably be the only chance of support that Laish would have because it was too isolated and too far inland, and so no one knows what's going on, and therefore no one is going to come and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the question is, because Dan could take Laish, does that make it right?
Not, I wouldn't think so. One side, I would say, they're supposed to drive people out.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you have a general revelation or command doesn't mean you are right in a specific thing to go slaughter people when you were supposed to be over here.
Mm.
Well, was that the area they're supposed to be in or no?
No.
Okay, so that wasn't even, they weren't even going.
They were given their land to take.
So they're taking land from somebody, one of the other tribes then.
Yes.
Okay.
You said Naphtali?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's up in the top.
But Naphtali hadn't touched it, so
yeah,
it's fair game.
Yeah. So then so that's another problem. You got everybody going, hey, you know, I don't want mine, I'll take yours. I don't want yours, I'll take this. Mm-hmm. And it gets to be a big mess. You know, big mess. Would you read verses 8 through 10?
When they came back to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtaol, their brothers said to them, "What do you report?" They said, "Arise and let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And will you sit still? Do not delay to go, to enter, to possess the land. When you enter, you will come to a secure people with a spacious land, for God has given it into your hand, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth."
You know what's crazy about that?
Good sounding report.
It's a good sounding report, but here, this is the crazy thing about it. The first part of this sounds like something Joshua would say to them in taking the land that they were supposed to take. Arise, let's go up against them. You know, for we have seen the land. Behold, it is very good. Will you sit still? I mean, this sounds like Joshua saying, go take your land. And here they are giving this speech when they're going to go take the land that is not theirs. God gave them land. They didn't fight for it. And so they go far away from where they were. They find a place that is basically, it's nice, it's easy pickings for them. You know, they saw Laish as a result of a word from God from a priest at Micah's house that hasn't heard from God at all. And so they come back down to the rest of the Danites at Zorah and Eshtol, and they report to him. The question is, what is seen in verse 10 that has been seen before in the story of Micah?
I couldn't quite figure that. Unless Micah takes money from his mother, that doesn't sound right.
Well, you've got people that are saying they heard God when they didn't hear God at all. They're saying things and slapping God's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the theme running through this story here.
It reminds me of those who settle for land on the other side of the Jordan, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is good land. Can we just stay here?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that was allowed for them.
Yes.
But this one, you know, I mean, back then they went to Moses and said, hey, we'd like this. There's no one going to anybody here. They're just right. Going up and taking it. Yeah. So they're going to go and they're going to take the city from one of their other tribes, but they do this in the name of God. You know, man putting God's stamp on things that he's not been consulted on. I mean, and how often do people do this today? You know, where do you see this today going on? You know, all over the place, right? Yeah.
Well, it seemed right.
Right. It seemed right. Therefore, it must be okay, right? Tell me these stories aren't relevant. I mean, Pat, would you read verses 11 and 12?
Then from the family of the Danites, from Zorah and from Eshtol, 600 men armed with weapons of war set out. They went up and camped at Kiriath Jearim in Judah. Therefore they called that place Mahane Dan to this day. Behold, it is west of Kiriath Jearim.
So, why do only 600 men head for Laish?
Because they think it's easy pickings.
Where was the rest of the tribe of Dan?
Well, why come through with 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people if 600 is enough to do the job?
Since these are armed men, it doesn't say so, but I'm going to read in that the plan was to take the city and come back for the families.
Except the families went with them.
600 armed men, so then they...
If you keep reading, it's...
Okay, so yeah. Maybe there was
a lot more. I had a question when I was reading, I was like, well, wait, who
are... Are we sandbagging here?
What?
Are we sandbagging here?
So 600 armed men plus...
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's really not known. This is one of those things where, you know, obviously there was more people. Mm-hmm. Where are they? We don't know. I mean, and there's all kinds of...
And clearly, Dan was still there at the time of Samson.
Yeah, right.
They didn't all go.
Yeah. I mean, could have broken up, splintered off. I mean, mm-hmm. it could have been some saying, hey, we only need 600 guys for this job. I mean, you know, we don't know. It's just not said.
I seem to remember AI.
Yeah, it sounds familiar to AI, doesn't it? We only need this many people to go in there. Oh, but we weren't we were in violation of the ban, huh? Yeah. So 600 is really the equivalent of a guard. It's not the total number of the tribe, but you know, compared to the tribe, it's a small number. So now these 600 men of war with their families are going up to take this city, and they camp in Kiriath Jearim in the northern part of Judah, and they change the name of it to Mahane Dan, which means the camp of Dan, and is also the place where the Spirit of the Lord began to move on Samson, you know, hundreds of years later. One of the things that kind of came up for me with this is I saw this. So they go up, they camp in this place, and they rename it. And I'm thinking, does this? And this is more of a question that I had is, does this not give insight into the attitude of Dan? Come and take and claim.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But they don't do this what was actually given to them, but they do this with everything else that wasn't given to them. You know, just a thought there. So verse...
What the younger brother will do.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, we apologize to all the younger brothers out there. Now. Verse 13 says, so
they, I'm off camera.
Oh, that's right. So verse 13 says, they pass from there to the hill country of Ephraim, and they come to the house of Micah. So on their way, they go northeast to the hill country of Ephraim, and guess who they come into? The house of Micah. Now, this could have been deliberate, because, you know, the spies were there before. And so, you know, did the spies tell them, say, hey, you know, there's this Levite over here, and you know, so was this a deliberate plan to go by there, you know?
Or if it weren't for all the immorality involved here,
well, yeah.
I might think that God is bringing things together.
You would think, yeah, except the fact that where is God in this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verse 14, then the five men went to spy out the country of Laish, said to their kinsmen, do you know that there are in these houses an ephod and household idols and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you should do. So these five spies say to their fellow Danites, do you know what is in these houses? There's an ephod and there's idols. I mean, think about this, guys, you know. And
shut up.
Yeah.
Our start for our land, we're now going to be started.
Yeah, so, you know, and there's this focus on these religious items because they want to set up their own thing up where they're going, right? But the crazy thing is no one's following God here. That's the crazy thing.
Well, you know? Mean a graven image?
Yeah.
A molten image?
Yeah.
An ephod?
A priest that's not a priest, you know?
He's from the wrong lineage?
Yeah, really. You know, so I think we can take the priest for hire, basically, you know, and all this stuff, and this would be good for our conquest and our new home. Now, I want to bring up something from last week, because you mentioned this word, you threw this word out, and there was a question about it. A teraphim. A teraphim is a word for foreign gods and idols. So, because I know there was some question about that. Let me see. Verses 15 through 20, would you read that?
They turned aside there and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, to the house of Micah, and asked him of his welfare. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were of the sons of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Now the five men who went to spy out the land went up and entered there and took the graven image and the ephod and the household idols and the molten image, while the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the graven image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molten image, the priest said to them, what are you doing? I added the accent.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay. They said to him, be silent. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man or to be the priest of a tribe and a family in Israel? The priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the household idols and the graven image and went among the people. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they come to the gate of this house while the 600 Danite warriors are standing there. And this is an intimidating sight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this prevents any opposition. So the five spies go to Micah's house. They ask how the Levite, Levite that they knew was. Then the spies go into the house. They take the idols. They take the ephod. And the Levite sees this and he begins to protest. And he says, what are you doing? And they tell him to say, be quiet and come with us. You know, and then they say, hey, be our priest, you know, be our leader, you know, be God's voice to us, you know. So again, here are the problems, you know, they steal from a thief, for one, okay, because Micah was really, started out, when we start reading about Micah, he had stole from mom.
Mm-hmm.
So they steal from a thief who set up an illegitimate shrine. They run over this priest. Then they ask this illegitimate priest to come with them and be their priest. I mean, it's like, there's so many things wrong with that, you know?
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, man. It's like, first of all, if somebody broke into your house and was overrunning you and they says, come with us, would you go?
Well, what are you talking about? What's in it for me?
That's the other problem.
Which is exactly what he did. Well, what's in it for me? And it's like, well, you can be the priest of the whole, you know, the whole tribe area. Ooh, I got promoted.
Yeah, yeah. Rather than being the priest for a house or maybe that community there, it's like I could be the priest for a whole tribe. Mm-hmm. Ooh, hey, okay, I'll go with you.
And he's probably already got the new clothes that Micah gave him because he's probably in tattered shape. It's like I got a new suit, got that from Micah. You know, he paid me for a year's wages in advance, so hey, I'm ready to go.
Yes.
And go to eat.
Yeah, I mean, there's no conviction, there's no integrity, there's nothing here. It's so bad.
And the Danites know that they're taking a priest who should not be a priest, who's got household idols and who shouldn't have them.
Yes,
and he is now betraying the one who befriended him and took him in. And this is to them a man of God that they should have for their tribe.
Yes, and this is supposed to be one of God's tribes.
Yes.
Where do we start, right, with all the problems?
Seems very socialist.
Well, it just seems like, the one boyfriend girlfriend that keeps taking back the other, the other one that keeps cheating on them type deal, and it's like, but look at them. They're nice to look at. Mm. They can do this for me.
Hmm. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and the livestock and the valuables in front of them. That's the family part. So the 600 leave with their families and livestock. They put them in front of them with the warriors in the rear as a protection against any opposition because they are ripping someone off here, mm-hmm. right? And so then we get to verse 22. Pat, would you read 22 through 24?
When they had gone some distance from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house assembled and then overtook the sons of Dan. They cried to the sons of Dan. How far are you going to?
Through 24.
24. They cried to the sons of Dan, who turned around and said to the Micah, "What is the matter with you that you have assembled together?" And he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and I have gone away. And have gone away. What do I have besides? So how can you say to me, what is the matter with you?"
So where Micah was not just, he wasn't in just, one small house, but there was some kind of a community there because there's more than one house there. And of course, again, this raises the question I said earlier of, was he just a Levite for Micah or was he a Levite for this whole community? But again, you got this illegitimate priest being that, right? And if that's the case, did Micah then deceive a whole community with this false priest, or did nobody care? I mean, then there's more questions. So Micah and this community, they go after the Danites, who turn around when they catch up to them and they say, "What's with you? This group is what's with you and this group coming after us? What's your problem?"
Well, and I wonder, because it says in 21 that they put the livestock in front of them. Did the Danites do that knowing that, okay, we're going to sacrifice them to the people we come up against, or are we putting them in the front because we're afraid that the people are going to come from behind us?
I like his explanation.
No, they put them up in front because
they're afraid if somebody attacks from the rear.
That's right.
We're protecting them.
They just got done stealing from a community here.
Right.
So let's just put this in we'll be the protection back here. And so Micah says, "What do you mean? What's my problem? You've just stolen from me. What do you mean? What's my problem?"
And here's an alternate title for the book.
Yeah.
Instead of just Judges or subtitle, "What is the matter with you?"
Yeah. What's the matter with everybody here? So the sons of Dan said to him, he says, "Don't let your voice be heard among us, or else fierce men will fall upon you and you will lose your life with the lives of your household." So the sons of Dan went on their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So the Danites basically tell Micah to shut up or they will kill him and his family. Mm-hmm. So Micah's been robbed. He's been bullied. He's outmatched. He has no choice but to let them go. And he just goes back home because there's nothing else that he can do. The Danites, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, nothing less than a band of bullies and thugs. Jeez, it's terrible.
I go back to my previous statement.
Yes. So what happened to Micah in these verses here, 18 through 26? Is this justice then?
Well, if they just took the priest, the Levite, that's just hiring practices. But when they took all his stuff, then you get into where they're robbing and pillaging.
I mean, but is this justice? He was a thief. He sets up an illegal shrine. He set up he's done all these things. Is this justice?
Well, this can be God's justice, but that does not excuse the actions of Dan.
True.
It's kind of, there's a certain ironicity to it.
Yeah.
Yes, there is, isn't there?
Yeah, but it's like when you were saying about hiring practice, it's like, okay, I'm taking your people, but I can't take your, intellectual property. Yeah, it's like, yeah, now you're taking the intellectual property that goes with it. It's like, wait a minute, now you cross the line.
Mm-hmm. Although idols aren't very intellectual.
Mm-hmm. Randy, would you be 27 through 28?
Then they took what Micah had made and the priest who had belonged to him and came to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and struck them with the edge of the sword, and they burned the city with fire. And there were no one to deliver them because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with anyone. And it was in the valley which is near Beth Rehob. And they rebuilt the city and lived in it.
So the Danites left. They went to Laish. They killed all the people and took their city. Mm-hmm. No one to help them. They were far off and isolated, so no one even knew what was going on. So if Laish is a Canaanite city, then is what Dan did not fulfilling God's instructions to drive out the Canaanites and occupy?
I go back to what I previously said. God can use it to judge Laish, mm-hmm. and to drive out the Canaanites, but the motivations, the specific command to these people, it's all wrong.
It was the wrong people doing it.
Yeah. The wrong people for the wrong reason.
Yeah, it was.
And they've already displayed their utter callousness to morality and disregard for the law.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say these people are doing God's will.
Yeah.
But God's will nevertheless can get done. Mm-hmm.
In spite of us.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they sound a lot like when you had these terrorists in the jungle and just come through and slaughter people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you read 19 through 31?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, da-da-da-da.
The imagery is...
19. I mean, 29. 29.
The story's not very positive.
29.
They called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born in Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. The sons of Dan set up for themselves the graven image, and Jonathan, we have a name,
mm-hmm.
Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, or Moses, mm-hmm. he and his sons were priest to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's graven image, which he had made all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh.
So we get here the name of the Levite, finally, Jonathan. He is the grandson of Moses. The name Manasseh is a name translation issue here. He was a descendant of Moses, but not of Aaron. When the priests were to come from, Exodus 28 tells us that. All priests were Levites, but again, not all Levites were priests. And so Jonathan and his son become priests to the Danites. But this is not sanctioned by God. These are not God-sanctioned priests. But Jonathan raised his children in this sin and in this idol worship, and as well as where God was to be worshipped. Mm-hmm. And the Danites continue on in this sin until the day of the captivity, which some would refer to the Assyrian captivity of 722. Dan carried on with their independent idol worship while the actual tabernacle, the house of God, was in Shiloh. You know, 20 miles north of Jerusalem, it had been set up by Joshua there. But eventually, justice comes to the Danites through God's agents of judgment, which we just talked about. So, Second Peter verse 3, chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God isn't slow about his promises, including promises of consequences. He wants people to see and he wants people to repent. But if they don't, consequences will come. And here, they would. Okay? And this is the continuing story of the descent of Israel. And this story is put here to warn us too, but also to. But it continues to make the point that without a king, there would be anarchy. They needed a godly leader. Everyone, the Levites, the valiant men, everyone and anyone can go astray if there's not someone to point them in the right direction. See, this is something that we all need. We all need those. That moral compass. We all need those godly people in our lives. You have all these different characters here. And really what it says is that there's no exceptions to the fact that everybody needs this. You know, and so the question that I leave you with is, as we close today, is where are the godly compasses in your lives? You know, for all of us listening to this here and those listening on Facebook, you know, where are the godly compasses in your life? Because without these, this story could be our story if we don't have the right, if we don't have guidance. So let me pray and we'll be done here. So Father, I just thank you for this story, God. As sad as it is, it's got some very good lessons in it for us today, thousands of years later. I just thank you for the timelessness of your word, God. And I do pray, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to see who are those godly compasses in our lives. And if we don't have those, God, I pray that you would point us to where they are so that we don't go astray. Because if someone says, "Oh, that'll never happen to me," they're already on their way. And so I just thank you for the people you put in our lives and the compasses that we have, God. And I thank you for these stories that are sadly humbling. And I just pray that you would just continue to guide us and direct us. We just pray all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.